We're turning tonight to Proverbs chapter 27 as we bring our meeting to a conclusion. We pray, Lord, will bless us as we read his word, as we think upon it. Certainly that above all things, you will hear his voice tonight and that you will follow and obey what he would call you to do. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbour that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Amen. Let's just commit ourselves to the Lord, praying for his blessing upon his truth tonight. Heavenly Father, we do praise thee once again tonight for being found in the house of God on this high day. Lord, we thank thee for the hymns that we've been singing about hiding in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the refuge there is in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the security. He is the one that cannot be moved. And those who are in Christ tonight are safe eternally. We thank you, Lord, for many in this gallery who can say, "I am in Christ. Oh yes, once I walked in sin, but tonight my identity is that I am in Christ." We praise you, Lord, that means an eternal salvation. It means a cleansing through the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, it means we've been adopted into the family of God. Help us to rejoice tonight. Help us to glean wisdom from these pages tonight, Lord, as God's people, how to live well, how to make good choices, how to do what honours thee in our lives. But we pray for those tonight who are not able to say they're in Christ. And they have to confess they are the same way they've been born into this world in a sinful nature. And we pray, Lord, tonight that thou wilt come and show them the danger and the peril that there is in continuing in sin. We pray they'll hear the voice of the Lord calling them to turn away from their sin, to repent and to trust in the work of Calvary. We pray, Lord, tonight there'll be no one who'd be so foolish as to simply keep walking on towards hell. And we pray, Lord, tonight in this meeting, you will stop them in their tracks, save them by thy grace. To this end, Lord, we leave everyone in thy hands. Lord, we cannot save. We cannot create an anxious thought. Lord, whatever the need spiritually be tonight, in each individual, Lord, we pray that thou wilt work tonight. And then it'll be a work that's well done. Lord, empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit, I pray. I pray you'll give me help to faithfully present the gospel for Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. Has anybody ever said to you, "I knew that was going to happen. I warned you about that. You didn't listen to what I said, and now you're facing the consequences of it"? I remember when I was in P7 at primary school, there was one day I was just absolutely starving with hunger, and I was working away, and all I could think about was lunchtime, and I couldn't wait to get something to eat. And I was ready, and used to you when the bell was about to go, and I was ready at the edge of my seat, and I ran to get to the head of the line. I was in a good place to get first into the canteen. And as soon as teacher said, "Right, you may go," I took off down the corridor, and within about 3 seconds, I was headbutting an iron pole outside the cloakroom. Now, you would have thought the teacher that day would have turned around and said, "Oh, son, poor you." No, that was not what she said. She said, "I told you not to run the corridor." And here was me, literally having just come round for being knocked out. And she was shouting at me, telling me that she had warned me. And she had. For 7 years at her, "Do not run in the corridor." And I thought I would run the corridor, and I realised I made a mistake. Maybe parents here tonight, or teachers, or those who are looking after your children, there's danger if you do that. You warn them continually about jumping off of things, about playing with scissors, about playing with fire, and you say, "Don't do that, don't do that, there's going to be a price to pay if you do that." And then, of course, when they do it, "I warned you, I told you." Do you know the Bible, in many ways, is God's warning to us? It's God's warning that if we continue in the path that we were born on, then there's danger ahead. If we continue to walk with that sinful nature and live and indulge in the sins of the world, well, then there is a payment to be made. And it's summarized really in verse number 12. And this is the verse I want to leave before you tonight, in verse number 12 of Proverbs chapter 27. It says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And the thought here is this, that this evil that is being spoken of, and that's the first thing I want to look at tonight. What is this evil that is being spoken of? Well, the evil there is speaking about the cautions that have been given. The cautions of Scripture, the warnings of Scripture, that if you engage in evil, what the results will be. What trouble lies ahead? What disaster lies ahead if you continue living in wickedness? And that's what that word means, that evil. It's the thought of caution. And in the Bible, we have many cautions how we are not to live. Now, as I thought about that, certainly the Bible teaches us and warns us and gives us caution against sin. And I suppose evil is another word for sin. What is sin? It is breaking God's law. And there's always a punishment and a consequence whenever we sin against God and break God's law. I said in the youth fellowship a few weeks ago that, you know, some people have this idea that God gives us these laws to restrict us and to cause our lives to be miserable and just to give us more things to do. The reality is the laws that God gives to us are for our good and for our benefit. And you go down each of them, you'll see if you follow God's law, then you will be blessed. You will know success. Your life will be pleasant. But the great reality is, many of the problems in our lives that causes heartache and tears and fear and worry are because we have broken God's law. The Bible summarizes it like this: the wages of sin is death. The sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And therefore, the Bible's telling us that there is a warning given against sin. Can I say tonight, whether we're saved or unsaved, there's always a warning against sin. Now, thank God, those of us who are saved have been saved from the guilt of our sin and from the record of our sin and from the punishment of eternal punishment from our sin. But, you know, we have to face temptation. And the Bible gives us great caution and warnings about the temptations that we have to face. It exposes them for what they are. It tells us what we ought to do with them. We're to flee from them. We are to call on the Lord to deliver us from them. In the day of trouble, in the day whenever we're being tempted and the pressure is being applied, we're to call on the one whose ear is always open onto his children. Because you see, the world will present sin and the devil will present temptations as something that are good, something to be sought after, something that promises satisfaction. For example, the drugs of today. There is a great pull there. There's a great temptation to try that in many ways to escape from the hard realities of this world. But even if we take what we would call even the lesser drugs, for example, tobacco. And we see that there's a temptation for people to do it. And we know it's not as much so today because we know the health risks of it. But certainly still there is a temptation today for people to go down that line. And what does it promise? It promises to satisfy the cravings within the body. And the reality is, if you give yourself over to that and live a life taking tobacco and putting it into your body, you will suffer the consequences within your body. Our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And we're to treat it as such. Within us, God is dwelling. We are not to put within our body that which will harm it or ruin it or mar it, because God has created us to be his dwelling place. Alcohol. And what temptation and allurement there is tonight in this world surrounding alcohol. And we see the advertisements on television. And we see the beautiful people drinking and laughing and the music playing in the background. And life seems so good with a glass in your hand. There's many people, and I know from your testimonies even in this meeting tonight, can testify that what it promised, it did not deliver. There was a payment for going down that road. Impure relationships, lies when it seems to be the easy way out, stealing, cheating. And these things seem like quick fixes to get what you want. And at the end of the day, there is a payment. There's always a caution in Scripture against sin and against temptation. Not only the things that we do, but the things that we say. And you know, we live in a world today and people forget that one day every word will be accounted for before God. When you hear some people on television, radios, even in our homes and our workplaces, and we hear them speak, it ought to cause us to tremble. Because they use their lips that God has created to mock God, to use the name of God in vain, to persecute the people of God, to teach lies that are contrary to God's truth. And there's caution in the word of God against such things. But that word evil, while it means caution, it also has the thought of trouble. Trouble or a storm that lies ahead. And the thought here is this, that your sin may not cost you very much upon this earth. But a great storm is coming. Storm of God's judgment. A great, terrible day is coming. A day of trouble where you will stand before God. And ahead of you is the judgment of the Lord. And a life without God, living a life without God, will result in great trouble at its conclusion. If you live a life of wickedness, then you will have an eternity of great trouble. And you see, ahead of each one of us tonight lies a day when God will call us to account. On that day, we will be cut off from earth and time. We'll be called before God to give an account of every action, word and thought. We will be sentenced by God. And from that day, we will dwell eternally where God sends us to. You see, friend, this verse teaches us that there is evil ahead. There's a day of trouble. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day when the anger of God will be poured out upon sinners who have not repented in time. Second thing I want you to notice here is the wisdom of hiding yourself from the evil. It tells us here that a prudent man, a wise man, a cunning man, he foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And this is a positive thing. That word foreseeth, it simply means to see with one's eyes. In other words, he understands that the cautions of Scripture are real. He understands that the word of God is true, that what God says will come to pass. You see, there are some people and they don't honestly believe the warnings of Scripture. And there are people in this meeting tonight and you do not believe that what God says is true. Because if you honestly believe that the payment for sin is eternal separation from God in hell, then you would fall on your knees right now and call on the Lord for mercy. But the reality is you don't believe. And that's the mark of the unsaved. They will not believe, nor will they receive the words of God. But the wise man understands that God's words are true. God has given us examples of his wrath being poured out upon this earth. I believe one of the most obvious examples is that of Noah. And it says in Matthew 25, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And that is talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be." We know what type of day Noah lived in. For the Bible says the thoughts of the heart, and the thoughts and imaginations of the heart were only evil continually. They were living in a day when the vast majority of people were living against God. They didn't believe the cautions that God had given. They didn't believe the warnings that God had given through his servant about sin. And the type of attitude that exemplified Noah's day was that of, "We don't really care." Because at the end of 120 years of faithful gospel preaching, only 8 people were saved, including the preacher. So the attitude was, it's not that they didn't hear, it's not that they didn't know, it's that they didn't care. They weren't really interested in any word from God. Is there someone in the meeting tonight, and that's the life you've lived? You don't care what God says. You're not interested in what God warns you about or doesn't warn you about. You're really not that interested. You're here tonight because you've been brought by someone. You're here tonight because you're expected to be here. You're here tonight because you maybe have no other say in the matter. But in your heart, you're saying, "No, I'm not interested in the warnings of God. I really just want this to be over. And I'll go home and get on with myself." Just what man and woman would have said. "I just wish Noah would stop. I can't wait till he finishes preaching there so I can get on with my life without that interruption of the gospel, of the word of God." Noah was a man of faith. We know that from Hebrews chapter 11. And faith is a doing word. If you have faith, then it will be shown and evidenced in the life that you live. And Noah had faith. And Noah believed that God's word was true. And Noah wasn't content to just build an ark for himself and for his family and to wait silently until the wrath of God fell upon the earth. Noah did something about it. I believe the majority of people in this house tonight are saved by the grace of God. Friend, are we content and willing to wait until God calls us from this scene of time home whenever our friends and our family are on their way to hell? If we truly have faith, then that faith must be exercised. It must be evidenced by what we do. We need to get people in under the sound of the word of God. We need to bring them. How else will they hear? You need to go and be the person that God has called you to be that witness, to be the one who goes and brings the gospel or brings people to the gospel. But Noah not only saw the evil, Noah not only heard the caution, thank God he hid himself from it. He hid himself from the coming storm of God's judgment in the ark that God had provided for him. You see, there was a place of safety. Oh, there were great warnings. There was a great peril coming. But thank God, there was a place of safety. And the wise man, the prudent man, the knowers of this world, you know what they do? They see it and they hear God's word and they believe it and they do something about it. They hide themselves away. Interestingly, the first time the word hide is mentioned in Scripture is in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3 verse 8, when Adam and Eve are hiding from God. And friend, you see, whenever sin comes and the guilt of sin and the conviction of sin comes upon the soul, the sinner will look for somewhere to hide. And when sin comes, or the reality of sin is upon the soul, you will look for somewhere to hide. And that's our prayer tonight, that God will convict you of your sin. Where did Adam run to? He ran to a bush. He hid himself among the trees of the garden. He tried to hide away from God. But friend, there is nowhere, nowhere you can hide from God. There is nowhere you can hide from the judgment of God. There is nowhere you can hide from that day that God will call you to give an account. You can't hide in your church. because the wrath of God will find you. You can't hide in religion, because God will expose you. You can't hide in your heritage, for that earns means nothing before God. You certainly can't hide in your wealth. Again, it means nothing. So where can a person hide? Or where can they take refuge from evil, from the judgment that is coming, from the storm of God's wrath that is coming upon this earth? Where can a person hide and be safe? And the answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place we can hide. If you turn with me, just keep your finger there, but turn with me to Psalm chapter 17, the 17th Psalm. We just want to look at a couple of these verses, and you'll find that this is a theme that is used over and over again. We've been singing about it tonight, but this is a theme used in Scripture. And it says there in Psalm 17, verse number 8, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. That word wings applies to the garment that the high priest would have worn. It really is speaking about the hem of the garment. And therefore the picture is this. It's that of the great high priest and his covering, hiding us from the wrath of God. Isn't that a beautiful image? Because our covering, and the only covering that will suffice, the only place we can hide, is under the righteousness of Christ, under his merit as our great high priest. Turn over to chapter 27 of Psalms, Psalm 27, and verse number 5. And then here's another beautiful statement. It says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." And here the psalmist is speaking as a believer of whom the Lord is his light and his salvation. He says, but when trouble comes, and trouble will come to my life, trouble will come in this scene of time, the Lord will hide me. I'll be hid in Christ. He keep me safe. He keep me steadfast upon that rock. And then go to chapter 32 of Psalms, and we'll find here a wonderful development, because we see a man confessing his sin and then resting in the hiding place of the Lord. It says in verse number 5, Psalm 32, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah. Verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. And here in these verses, we see in different imagery the role of Christ being our hiding place, the Lord being the one in whom we can hide. You see, the walls of a city can be destroyed, and the wealth of a life can be dissolved, and the words of religion can be disregarded. But I tell you, the refuge of the Savior can never be penetrated. None can pierce through the covering that we have in Christ. Why? Because he has already dealt with the evil that is being spoken of here in this passage. He has dealt with God's anger at sin. And for those of us who are saved tonight, we can say that Christ bore God's anger for my sin. Therefore, God's anger is satisfied. Christ paid the debt of my sin by the shedding of his precious blood. Therefore, I'm free. My punishment has been borne by the Holy One, by the Almighty One. And therefore, I can hide in Christ as his child, saved by his grace, not only from the storms of life, but thank God, from the storm of the coming judgment of the Lord. In the days of the pioneers in the United States, whenever they were trying to explore that new continent, as they moved from the East Coast toward the West Coast, there were several things that hindered them. And one of the things was the prairie fires. They would have just started up so quickly. And these fires came at such a rate that even the fastest horses couldn't outrun them. And they knew that if they were going to explore further and they're going to get to the west coast of that great continent, then they're going to have to do something about the fires that came and threatened their lives. Someone came up with a wonderful solution. Whenever they saw a fire coming in the distance, they would have got a piece of ground and they would have lit a fire. And then that fire would have been burnt out, and on the place where the fire had burned, the family would have stood. The wagons would have been brought. The animals would have been brought. And as they stood on the place where the fire had already been, as the prairie fires came, they would have come backed up by the wind and they would have come up to the people and would have gone round the burnt area because the place they were standing had already been burned by the fire. And that's how they got to the western side of the United States of America. And you know that the fire of the judgment of God is going to fall upon this earth. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl will outrun it. But thank God there's a place of refuge and there's a place of safety where the fire of God's wrath has already fallen. That's at the cross. And if we're standing in Christ at the cross, if we are resting upon the work that he has done, then the anger of God will pass us by. We'll come through the judgment unscathed, hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy eternal rest." Let me ask you, if the fire of God's judgment should fall tonight, where are you standing? You see, you're either standing in Christ, hidden in him, or friend, you're outside of Christ, bound for hell. You see, the warnings have been given, and the wise man acknowledges those warnings, and he hides himself. But thirdly and finally tonight, notice this, the folly of passing on by without a response. It says there in verse number 12, "The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The word simple, it means to be foolish. It comes from a word which means to be deceived, to be enticed, to be flattered, to be allured, to be persuaded. And the thought is that they're silly because they're listening to people who say everything's okay and it really isn't. Maybe tonight you have been listening all your life to the devil saying, your life's okay. You have a pleasant life. You have a good life, a good family life, a good home life, a good education, a good job. You don't need Christ. You're being deceived. You're being flattered by hell. Don't listen to such language and nonsense, because the Word of God gives a warning that without Christ, you'll be lost for all eternity. And the thought here is this, that they pass on. The word means to cross over. They make a point of getting out of the way of the cautions of God. No to the cautions. No to the warnings. Rejecting God's truth. Spurning God's grace. Maybe you recognize yourself as such a one. You pass on. You cross over. Whenever somebody invites you to church, you do your best to get out of it. You know, you go there, you'll hear the warnings of God. So you just pass on by. Maybe the open air preacher. And you close your ears, you listen, or as you close your ears, you can't listen as you walk down the street. You pass on by, you cross over, because you know if you listen, there's going to be a warning from God. Maybe it's the gospel tract. Maybe you got that booklet through your letterbox, "Have you broken the law?" Or "How many times have you broken the law?" And you haven't read it yet because you're passing by the warnings of God's word. You know if you open that booklet and you read it tonight, or whatever gospel tract sitting in your home, you know you'll be confronted with your sin. And you know that God will speak to your heart, and yet you're trying to pass by. Maybe it's a gospel song. Whenever the gospel music comes on, you walk out. Or you turn it off, or you flick it on. My friend, do not pass by the warnings of Scripture. Wonder how many times you've heard. Many times have you heard that there is judgment coming. Many times have you heard there's a payment for sin. Many times have you personally heard that God will judge the sinner and cast them into hell. And you've heard, and friend, tonight, you have done absolutely nothing about it. Came across this song as we was studying this, and it just simply summarizes maybe someday in this meeting tonight. He grew up in a Sunday school. He learned the verses and the songs. The teacher kindly taught him. He soon knew right from wrong. But in youth, the world appealed to him. So he gave the world a try. Although he knew the gospel, he ignored it. Walked on by. Health and many blessings have been given by the Lord. A home with friends and family and a copy of God's word. Oh, he'd heard of the fate of sinners. What would happen when they die. And he'd heard about salvation. But he ignored it and walked on by. He built a home to live in. He travelled far and wide, the car, the wealth, the pleasures. I've made it now, he cried. But as he sat in church one Sunday, he didn't realise it was his final opportunity, but he ignored it and he walked on by. He walked on by each opportunity to be saved from his sin. He walked on by the invitation as the preacher pleaded with him. But you cannot live forever. The soul that sins must die. It was a day of grace and mercy. But he ignored it. And he walked on by. And the Bible tells me that the simple pass on. And they're punished. You see, on the whole tonight, the world will say, oh, you're religious. But that's not for me. And they'll put church down. It's just some choice you can make. And the gospel is just something you can add on to your life if you so choose. Friend, tonight we are talking about your soul. That which will never die. That which will spend eternity in either heaven with Christ or hell without him. And I ask you before God in this meeting tonight. If this should be your final day upon this earth, if God should call you into eternity, where would you be? Will it be into the joy of eternal rest? Or, friend, will you go to hell with the warnings of God ringing in your ears? As I thought about this, you know, the most famous verse in scripture, the most well known, the most recited verse in scripture is John chapter 3 verse number 16, and I'm sure every single person in this meeting can quote it tonight. But you know what I realized about that verse as I read it afresh this week in light of what I was preaching on tonight? That verse is a warning. That verse is a caution for you. And you know it as well as you're sitting in this meeting tonight. Because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it also says, and infers, whosoever does not believe in him will perish, will never know life. Friend, tonight, where are you? Oh, yes, you're in God's house tonight, but I mean spiritually, where are you? If you're not saved, then today's your day of grace and opportunity. Very first verse of this chapter we've been reading, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. A prudent man foreseeth the evil or the warnings and hideth himself. But the simple pass on. They're punished. Let's close our eyes in the presence of the Lord tonight. I challenge you afresh before God. If you're saved tonight, if you have seen the warning, if you heard the warning and you've made preparation for your soul, then tonight you thank the Lord for that. You praise the Lord that should tonight be the judgment of God falling upon your soul. Then you're ready. Friend, tonight, if you're not, then I beg you, please don't pass on because you'll be punished. Please don't wait a moment longer when the Saviour willingly calls out to you. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Where you're sitting out in your seat tonight, call on the Lord to save you. Reverend McCrae's here tonight. I'm here tonight. We'll be here after the meeting for a few moments. Please come and speak to us if you love us. Like to show us, or you would like us to show you how you can be saved, friend. We would love to do that. We would love to just get down beside you and show you from God's word the path to salvation. But remember tonight, you've heard the caution. You've heard the warning. I pray you'll heed it. O God in heaven, we thank thee tonight that we're in the day of grace. O Lord, in thy mercy, you've given the sinners in this meeting another opportunity to hear the gospel. Lord, had you taken the breath from their body before this point, Lord, they'd been in hell. We thank you, God so loved the world. And once again, the message has gone forth that Jesus saves. And we pray tonight, Lord, for the man, the woman, the boy or girl who's not ready to meet God, that this night they will not pass by what they've heard. They'll not pass by the gospel, but they will reach out and receive free gift of eternal life. They'll call on the Lord to be saved. They'll be washed whiter than the snow in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we prayed at the start of this meeting that you would do a work. We pray, Lord, you bring that work to its completion tonight. Please save, we pray. Please give deciding grace. Oh, Lord, be merciful. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.